before you kind of crack on with your kind of intercessory prayers or whatever, just to take a moment just to stop and to remind ourselves who we're praying to, so that kind of preparing to pray. Which I guess, you know, the Lord's Prayer gives us a pattern of that, doesn't it? It starts with Our Father.
Welcome to Independence, which is the FIC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm head of national ministries for the FIC. I'm here with Andy Gears.
Hello
Andy. And we're on the road. So if you're thinking, what's this salubrious location we're in, if you're watching, we're in the Word Alive team lounge. Lounge in the loosest sense. There's a coffee.
Wherever safest.
There's a coffee percolator over there, but that's about it. But this is where the team congregate. We're sitting in, not quite in the corner, but we're here to talk about prayer. And this is a leaders podcast, Annie, so we're really going to try and help leaders think about prayer, which means helping Christians think about prayer, right? Now, first of all, you've got a nice Prayer Mate hoodie on there, nice bit of advertising. Tell us who you are, and also what's your connection to Prayer Mate?
Yes, so I'm Andy Gears, and I am a software developer.
That's your primary identity, is it? Software developer.
Well, I am a Christian.
Okay, you're a Christian. That's a good start. Yep.
And I'm also a husband to Elise, and we have 3 kids and 2 cats and some fish.
Cats and fish.
Yes, I'm assuming the cat hasn't
that
eaten the fish.
That sounds like it's a bit of a lethal combination. How does that work in practice?
I don't know if the cats really know that the fish are there, but they do love the fish tank because it's a nice warm spot.
And you live in London. Are these house cats? Do they ever go out?
They like to climb through the back windows with a collar on.
Okay.
From time to time.
So they are allowed out into the wide world?
Occasionally, yes.
Right, okay. And we've known each other quite a while. Mm. I can't remember how long. I gave you a job, I think because I was impressed that you could write code at the same time as you were talking to me, which you were like this and typing away. And I think I had a conversation with you once. I said, what are you doing? You said, I'm writing some code. And that befuddles me at the best of times. But the fact that you were doing that while simultaneously having a conversation with me, I thought, I've got to give this man a job in IT, and did. And so we've known each other a while. Yeah. And just for full disclosure, we'll come on and talk about Prayer Mate. This is all part of a charity called Discipleship Tech, and I'm involved with the board of that. Very privileged to be able to do that. So we're not here to talk about Prayer Mate per se, but it's part of your prayer story, isn't it? Just in terms of your own kind of thinking about prayer, things that you found difficult. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, just to go a bit further back, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were always really big prayers. And they prayed for me and my brother and sisters like every day. And the thing that always used to really strike me was whenever we had visitors who were Christians, and they would always pray with them and for them before they left. And but I didn't have much of a sort of devotional prayer life myself. I think the only time I really prayed was during PE at school.
Turn my microphone up a little bit. We've got to explore this story, if you don't mind. It's not too traumatic and traumatizing for you. PE at school, you prayed. Presumably these were not prayers of praise.
No, PE, it's fair to say, was my least favorite subject at school. And the only subject where I genuinely feared for my life, I think.
That's quite dramatic.
Running around the school field, I was genuinely convinced I was going to die, I think. So we'd be praying, dear God, please save me.
Is this a relationship with sport you've carried on into middle age? I'm allowed to call you middle age?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think officially, probably. Yeah.
So this is a relationship with sport you've carried on?
Yes. The hilarious thing is my eldest son is now absolutely obsessed with football.
And
wants to be playing football non-stop.
The Lord has a sense of humour.
He does, he really does.
So prayer was coming. So prayers were very heartfelt but occasional.
Yes. And I remember praying, like perhaps there was a girl I really liked. When I really wanted something, I perhaps would ask God.
So maybe this is the moment when God steps in to help me out. That's kind of your relationship with prayer at that point.
But I certainly wouldn't have any kind of proactive discipline of doing it regularly. Until I went to university.
And what changed then?
So I think primarily I met some actual Christians who were my own age.
Yeah, yes, okay.
And they loved Jesus, and they loved talking about Jesus with our friends, and they loved talking to Jesus in prayer. And they started these kind of regular prayer meetings, but also they sort of drew me into that and invited me to do a prayer triplet with a couple of them. And really, in many ways, that was the time where my relationship with God really kind of became my own thing. And Yes, yeah, so around that time I read A Call to Spiritual Reformation by Don Carson.
Okay, yeah, yeah, Don Carson's book, yeah.
And or at least half of it. I've recently...
You read half of it,
I thought I'd read it all, but I came back to it recently and found my bookmark halfway through. And
okay, maybe, Andy, let me just be gracious here. Maybe it was a bit you particularly liked that you went back
right.
to. Maybe
that's what it was. For later.
Yeah, yeah. Which are the prayers of Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great, you know, really helpful book that I read at that crucial point in my Christian journey. But he talked about how he had this prayer folder, basically, of like a list of people he prayed for every day, and then just lots of people's prayer letters that you would sort of cycle through over time.
Okay.
And I thought this sounded like a great idea, so I went out to W.H. Smith and bought myself an A5 ring binder and some, you know, pages with holes punched in them. And I made a list of people I wanted to pray for every day. Who were generally either people I was seeing every day, like my uni mates, or like family members, like my parents. And
sure.
And then, just a page for all the other people I wanted to pray for. And over time, I would sort of pray for a few a day, but over time, you'd sort of get through them all and look around.
And is you're a techie, so you like tech. I know you like tech solutions to things. Is PrayerMate just putting your book online?
Well. I mean, in some ways, yes. I mean, not online necessarily. I mean,
no, but on your device.
Yeah.
So all these things merge together for me. Yeah. You know what I'm like. Yeah.
But I quite like a physical thing in some ways. So I did enjoy it. But what I found was that over time, the people who I prayed for less regularly, I got an A5 piece of paper with their name at the top, and had all these visions of over time filling in like. Exactly what to pray for day by day.
Yeah.
And like a year later, every page was still blank. I didn't have like a single detail of what to pray.
Because?
I mean, partly just didn't know what to write in it.
Okay.
And
okay.
All things changed so regularly, I didn't want to spoil this piece because I knew if I filled this piece of paper.
Spoil your paper. Was that easier then? For people who you were praying for every day?
Yeah.
Is that more straightforward?
I actually found, in some ways, they're the hardest people to pray for.
Okay, you can have to explain that, because I would have thought that you were praying for someone every day. There's kind of you're building a familiarity in prayer with their lives and their kind of needs and struggles. Does that not help at one level?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in some ways, yes, of course, it helps. And if you're seeing someone every day, there is a sense in which you know what's on their heart at the moment, what they're facing, and that's easy enough. But in other ways, you know, when you've been praying for the same person day in, day out for, you know, a few months, a year, 10 years, or 40 years, you know, like, I think it does get hard to, it's easy to get stuck in a rut. And
just
praying the same
Or just to make your prayers very generic.
Yeah.
So we'll perhaps turn to this in just a moment, but I've tried to pray through our membership list as part of my personal praying at church. And prayers can become very generic, can't they? Lord bless this person, Lord bless that person. The way I found around that is I always do my praying after reading my Bible reading and try and pray in the Bible reading for individuals, which sometimes feels a bit of a leap because I've been applying it to myself in my Bible reading. And I think this doesn't necessarily apply to other people, but I try and apply my Bible reading to people just to give the prayers some content. Otherwise, you're right. Mm. I think the prayer becomes a bit routine, samey, loses its vigor, loses its excitement, I guess.
Definitely. And you know, it's not that you don't want to be praying. Like I really, really want to be the kind of person like my parents who prays for my kids every day. I find it frustrates me that I end up just praying the same kind of, I don't know, God bless my kids and help them to know you.
Now, just help us out here, because you spend a lot of time thinking about how to help people pray. One of the things that this is a podcast for leaders on the whole, and a lot of leaders will be listening to it, but we're set apart, you know, often paid to spend time in the Word and to pray, that kind of Acts 6 way, that it's not right we should neglect the ministry of the Word and prayer. And yet many leaders find it difficult to pray. Why generally is prayer such a struggle, do you think, for Christians?
I think at one level, surely it has to be that we actually don't really believe that we
So it's a heart issue, which is useful when we come to talk on about solutions. Because a lot of the solutions we put in place are tech solutions or old-fashioned tech, an A5 notebook doesn't get filled. But actually, it is a heart issue, isn't it?
Definitely. I think, you know, it's ultimately self-reliance, isn't it? We Well, or yeah, we think it's down to us. So, and sometimes that we can do things, and it's all about the action and the things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just feel helpless. We know we can't do anything about the situation, and we just sort of. But ultimately, we're kind of relying on ourselves and not relying on God. And that's certainly the case for me. I think that I don't pray first and foremost because my instinct.
We don't really believe we need God's help, yeah, I guess. Exactly. Yeah. And do you think, I mean, there are different kinds of prayer as well, aren't there? And I wonder if that's true about self-reliance. I wonder also if our prayers lack praise. You know, we don't stop to pause and thank God for things because actually we spend a lot of time thinking about what we don't have rather than what we do.
Yeah.
Again, it's a heart issue, isn't it? It comes back to our hearts and whether our hearts are right. How do we think clearly about our hearts in that sort of context? How do we help our hearts? What have you found helpful in terms of asking God to work on your hearts? What has made a difference to you? I've got some ideas. I want to hear yours first.
Yeah, I've heard people recommend before, like before you kind of crack on with your kind of intercessory prayers or whatever, just to take a moment, just to stop and to remind ourselves who we're praying to. So that kind of preparing to pray.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, the Lord's Prayer gives us the pattern of action. Yeah. It starts with Our Father. You know, we've sort of tried to mirror that a little bit in Prayer Meet. You can get sort of prompts for praising God
again, we're not trying to do a promo for Prayer Mate, but my first card in Prayer Mate is what are you thanking God for yesterday? Yeah, that happened yesterday, and I found that a really helpful discipline that I need just to pause and say, but you know, what has gone well yesterday that you want to thank God for? How's he helped you? Have you known more of him? So I think that's right.
Yeah. And likewise, I think, as you said earlier, like I also find it helpful to pray off the back of Bible reading and stuff like that, so that you have these truths about God in your heart that you're sort of using to fuel your prayers rather than just praying into a sort of vacuum, I suppose.
So I go through different seasons of prayer, I think it's fair to say, in all different ways. So one of the seasons would be find it easier and then find it really hard, which I guess there's a spiritual thing going on there. I think I have other seasons where I want it to be really structured. I need structure. I need to think, who am I praying for today? And actually, if I don't use structure, I neglect certain people or certain topics. I forget to praise God for good things. So I find there are times when I really need structure, which is when I really like Prayer Mate. But there are other times when I just want to say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to pray for whatever comes into my head, which feels, I always feel a little bit guilty at that point because I think, you know, surely you should have a prayer list. It's very godly to have a prayer list, isn't it? Mm. And I think we can beat ourselves up a little bit about that because although the Bible encourages us to pray, it doesn't tell us how to do that other than in the general terms of, not the general terms, they're very specific, but in the Lord's Prayer, it gives us patterns and things like that. But it doesn't say, this is the way to do it. You've got to have this list. You've got to have this much time during the day. You've got to do it at the beginning of the day, the end. There's a remarkable lack of direction, really, in the Bible for this is how you must pray, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's very different from something like Islam, where you've got your five times a day.
And that's right. Yeah, that's a helpful contrast.
The direction you have to face and things like that.
And different seasons of life affect you. So you've got reasonably young children. So you remember this perhaps better than I, because my children are a bit older. But actually, seasons of life change when you have time available. And I wonder sometimes, as Christians generally, perhaps as leaders too, that we beat ourselves up about, you know, there's a certain routine and pattern that you must have. So it seems to me I want to start the day praying and reading God's word, but it doesn't necessarily need to be when the bulk of my praying is. You know, if I haven't spent an hour in prayer at the beginning of the day, and I want to shove my praying, however long it is, it's not an hour, sorry, I don't want to give the wrong impression. If I want to shove my praying further down the day, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, I don't think so. I think that in my experience, what really helps is just having some kind of, for me anyway, a routine of working out when am I actually going to pray. It doesn't have to be first thing in the morning at all, but having a regular slot just helps me to make it actually happen. For me, certainly, I'll be honest, in the season I'm in, I find it much easier to pray with my wife, Elise.
Okay.
Since having young kids, it's been much harder to sort of...
So is that just finding the time, or is that about accountability, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both of those things. sometimes there is a kind of routine where I will pray while I'm emptying the dishwasher in the morning, because I'm doing that pretty much every day.
With your eyes closed? Don't answer that.
I don't think Jesus said when you pray, shut your eyes.
I think that's right. Yeah. But it's just helpful. So sorry, we don't want to denigrate, do we? A kind of a really core devotional life, which I guess when I was 12 and first converted, 1980s, was kind of really drummed into me. And I'm really grateful for that. But we mustn't let that become the thing. It's a means to an end, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a means to knowing God, expressing your dependence upon him, a relationship of love with him. Yeah. And actually, if prayer is just a thing in and of itself, and not a means to blossoming and deepening and developing that relationship, we've kind of lost the point of what it's for, haven't we?
Yeah, and I guess, as we said earlier, about having that sort of sense of who God is, I suppose prayer should be this sort of awesome thing where you're approaching the creator of the universe.
Yeah, that's right.
I do have to sometimes have that conversation with my kids, because they really enjoy sort of their daily prayers. We'd pray with them last thing at night before they go to bed. But they also do really enjoy just saying exactly the same words every single day.
Okay.
And we sometimes have to sort of
interesting
remind them, just slow down, what are you actually doing? It's a balance. But I think it's better that I do pray whilst emptying the dishwasher than that I don't pray
yes,
at all.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And just touching on parenting, so some people listening in will be parents, not all. But that's really helpful as well, because I think we, especially as leaders, we're very conscious that we want our children to look good. We might not express it like that, but essentially we're thinking, I hope they follow Christ. I hope they, turn into really godly believers. Mm. And won't people think I'm a great parent if that happens? And there's all kinds of wrong with that for a start. But actually taking the time not just to drum into them routines, but to say, why are we doing this? Mm. We're reading the Bible. Why are we reading the Bible? Mm. Those sorts of questions. That seems to me to be really important. That's a really good kind of strategy to have, isn't it? Mm. Do they respond well to that?
Not necessarily, no. No, but they, I guess I wish, my parents were so good at praying for me, but I don't necessarily know if I kind of picked up, as I say, I don't think I had my own kind of
prayer. The why of it.
Yeah.
That's interesting, helpful.
So yeah, I guess we're really keen for that for our own kids.
What about accountability? How does that feature in prayer life? Because actually, you praying with Elise, that's a kind of accountability. You're prompting one another, holding one another to account. Celia and I do that. We pray for one another, and sometimes we pray together at the end of the day. I just want to close my eyes and go to sleep. And it's good for saying, no, let's spend some time praying. That's a good thing to do, and vice versa. I know, let's be honest, never happens vice versa. She's much more, she seems to be much more godly than I am, or just much less tired, perhaps. But there is a place for holding one another accountable in this, isn't there? As in lots of parts of Christian life.
Yeah, definitely. And, even actually, there's a way in which even actually praying more specific prayers provides a level of accountability. Because if someone says, like in our small group WhatsApp chat or something, they'll say, please can you pray this, that and the other, and a week later they might say, thank you so much everyone for praying. And that I know that's going to be really, I'm going to be really guilty and convicted if I haven't prayed. In a way, by not just praying the generic please bless this person, but actually specifically pray for that situation.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That really helps me, because then I get to ask them a week later, like, how did that thing go? What's the situation with your parents?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, at that point, really, if you're operating in a really healthy small group, you should be able to say to that person, I'm quite convicted, because when you sent that message around, I didn't actually pray and I'm really sorry. Mm. But thank you for reminding me about the answer prayer, and isn't God good?
That would be
a really good thing to say.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I've got the nerve to say that quite, but that would be a really good thing to say. Anyway, that's slightly by the by. For leaders, it can be a lonely place, I think, being a leader of a church. You're obviously working in tech world. You've got a great pastor in the church. But we do need to be helping leaders, don't we? Sorry, I'm speaking. I'm just talking to myself now. You just sit there while I talk to myself.
I'm used to this.
There is something about the loneliness of leadership, I think, That means, and just the weight of leadership, which means that there are always temptations, ironically, to prayerlessness, because you feel that actually there's always too much to do, and there's not enough time in the day, first of all. Secondly, will anybody ever really ask me about this? Who really knows? And the Lord, you know, the Lord is gracious and helpful. I've just got to get on with stuff, or I'm just finding it too difficult to pray for people who would perhaps seem again. You know, all kinds of reasons why prayerlessness creeps in. So how do you think leaders can help one another stay fresh in prayer? What are some of the things that you kind of, you're not, I'm not holding you up as a prayer expert, but you are thinking about this a lot because you're thinking about how the app works. So how can leaders who are listening in to the podcast help one another pray well? What are some of the things we could be doing?
That's an excellent question.
I've sprung that on you. We weren't prepared for that, but I'm hoping you might have some insights.
Yeah, I guess it's something to chat to one another about when you see each other, isn't it? I mean, I know it, like, often it might just be once a year at a conference or something that you meet up with your buddies who are also in ministry, but
right.
I think I know a lot of people like to have those kind of routines that when they do meet that person, they have their little kind of...
So it's not just about how's church going. It's actually about how are you going as a Christian. Before operating as a leader, you know, how's your reading? There's a pastor I meet up with every now and again, who the minute I walk through the door, he always asks me, what are you reading at the moment? He's got a bigger brain than me. So I always make sure that the week before I've read something slightly stretching, so I can say, well, it's interesting. Funny you should mention that. I've been reading this, which is a completely, I've just revealed my heart there, haven't I? Completely revealed my heart. But actually, I need him to ask, how's prayer life going at the moment?
Definitely.
How are you praying? And what's going on? And that sort of accountability is really important, isn't it? I think.
Definitely.
And you said you had a little triplet at uni. Do you still meet up with them, or do you still keep? Do you have a little triplet or something like that? You meet in?
I mean, to my shame, I actually don't even remember the name of one of the people in that prayer
triplet. Okay. Well, we have different seasons of life.
We do.
Don't worry.
But it was so crucial to me getting started as a Christian. It's funny that.
That's fine, isn't it? Because the Lord does bring people into our lives for a season. Mm. Some people for longer. And we bless him for all those kind of relationships. And some come to an end for whatever reason. Some carry on.
Yeah, but I am in a new prayer trip with folks in my church.
Okay.
So a couple of guys from my small group. We meet sort of once a month.
Yeah.
And, it's hard. It is hard to sort of get beyond the kind of superficial, like, you know, pray for, I have a restful holiday next week.
Yeah, pray the children will be all right. Yeah. And that only comes with time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think one of the things... We're doing our leadership teams is we meet to pray once a month, just to pray. Mm. One of the things that we found helpful was that our elders' meetings, just prayer got squeezed out. There's always so much business. So we said, let's have two different kinds of elders' meetings. Let's have a business meeting. Let's have a prayer meeting. Mm. And in the prayer meeting, we just pray. And we just pray through the membership list. We pray for each other, and we spend half an hour doing that. That's four of us at the moment. So we have a little bit of time. You know, we get to know one another. We try and be honest with one another, which takes time. It takes time to build trust. So we pray for one another. We pray for five men, five women, five kids, or something like that pattern. And that's been really refreshing. But we are basically holding one another accountable by saying, look, we're going to put this date in the diary. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's always another piece of church business to deal with. So you do need to carve out time, I think, in that sense.
Mm. And we used to do that, didn't we? When we worked together, we used to have those weekly kind of prayer meetings.
It seems a long time ago. I can't quite remember.
But, yeah, it's so
I do remember at the time you left me, Andy Gears, to go and work on PrayerMate.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's strictly true.
No,
actually.
Is it not? Okay. No, you didn't. You went to work at a startup.
I went for a food delivery startup.
But PrayerMate was in your head.
I had already launched it at that point.
That's right. Sorry, forgive me for getting that wrong.
Yeah, no, I remember writing on my CV for that job application, like, I've written this app and it's had 1,000 downloads. And I thought, you know, this is the biggest number.
How many downloads has it had now?
Oh, I've lost track because I don't so obsessively check it anymore, but it is over 500,000 now.
Okay. So. Okay. And what's it trying to do?
Well, I think ultimately it's trying to help people like me, like you, to pray, really. And it's sort of practically helping me to actually pray. So you can set your reminders or whatever. And actually these days your phone is even, it automatically spots where you've used this app at the same time so many days in a row.
It comes up. Would you like this app? Yes.
Which is genius because
yes.
you know,
it's also convicting when you see what apps are suggested for
yeah,
you.
That's true. But then it can also suggest who to pray for.
I'm guessing the BBC Sport app is not on your most. End. Sorry, that's a bit
well,
unfair,
it probably is now because my son keeps borrowing my phone to check the Arsenal scores.
Come on, Arsenal. Sorry, little topical reference there.
It helps you know who to pray for. So it suggests, like, there's hundreds of people I could pray for, but here's five. And, you know, I often think, like you mentioned earlier, oh, I'm just going to pray for whatever comes into my head today. And I think, I don't need prayer, mate. You know, I'm just going to pray. But then when I do open it, it suggests all these people I would never have thought to pray for. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. And they're always people I'm so, like, delighted to pray for.
Sure. Now, just to be clear, a notebook works as well.
Yes, it's true.
There are all
it's
kinds
true.
Of ways of organising yourself. Yeah. And no way of organising yourself. Prayer is wonderful, isn't it, in that sense. Maybe we need to, we're just setting up a theology team, maybe we need to spend a bit more time thinking about the theology of prayer, and that would be a really exciting thing to do. We've got 6 or 7 minutes left. Let's talk about helping churches get praying. Mm. I think that many church leaders will struggle with this. They'll lament the poor attendance at a church meeting. Mm. They'll be in churches sometimes where there aren't even a whole church prayer meeting, which I personally I think isn't quite the thing we think it is. The aim is to get the church praying. Actually, to get people physically together in one place can be a bit of a battle. We want to get the church praying, but even then it feels like a battle.
Yeah.
How can church leaders help churches be praying churches? What can they be doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an important question, isn't it? I wonder if one thing is just to get it on the agenda, and maybe in every sermon, we could have, if you've got like a bulletin sheet with some here are some prompts for prayer from today's sermon.
Okay, it's not just that your application is read the Bible more, pray more, give more.
Yeah.
It's kind of the traditional evangelical applications. But you're actually saying, here are some things you could be praying for as a result. So, that's interesting. Yeah.
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 I guess, both praying for each other. I think we've tried to work at our church, the whole team in leadership tried to be really proactive in creating this culture of make sure you could keep space to pray in the schedule.
Like, okay, and how are they doing that?
So they've told us all they're going to do this, and they always interrupt us like 10 minutes before the end of the study saying, if you haven't already, now, or not even, I don't know whether it's 10 minutes or 30 minutes.
Okay,
whatever, but,
okay. You know, but it's an intentional
time,
interruption, essentially.
To make sure that we all do it. I think it's taken a few years, but I feel like that has really caught on. You know, people know, because it's so easy, tempting, isn't it? You're running out of time, and it's just prayer is often the thing that gets squeezed out.
Yeah,
at the end.
And that's helpful, because prayer is private at one stage, at one level. And how can you see that your leaders really believe in prayer? Well, you know, you don't see what happens in the study and what happens in their homes. So in one sense, it's hidden. But in another sense, if they're talking about it, if they're encouraging you to think about prayer, if they're actually doing some of the application work for you, that I can see that really could make a difference in just creating the right atmosphere in church. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's also loads of fantastic books. So, you know, recommending, if you've got a church away day or something, having a recommendations, here's a book that's going to encourage you in your prayer life. Like anything that sort of keeps prayer on the agenda and says this is something we...
Little series on prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
So I having read The Call to Spiritual Reformation by the Donster, I preached a sermon series called Paul's Big Prayers, which is, I found... I'm not sure if anybody else found it helpful. I found it very helpful because what I found that did is it recalibrated my prayers. Because actually I realized that all my praying was basically in one line of the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. And all the other stuff, your kingdom come, let your will be done, and forgiveness, that was kind of getting lost in the give us today our daily bread, where prayer just becomes that, you know, Lord, give me what I need for the next day. And actually Paul's prayers... in his letters, they're extraordinary. They don't let you off the hook in that way, do they?
There's this great line in his book about answered prayer, because when you do just pray for daily bread, it's easy to sort of, it's a checklist thing, and you like, that one's been answered, so I can stop praying it now. Whereas if you're praying those bigger picture things about God's glory, and he talks about how, you know, actually answered prayer is an invitation to lean in and pray for that thing all the more. Like Paul says, I never stop giving thanks for you, for your faith or whatever. And so I pray for your faith to, you know, abound more and more.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Fantastic. And it's worth saying, we'll do a little promo for PrayerMate. It's worth saying within PrayerMate, there's some functionality for groups to pray, isn't there?
There is. Yeah.
And actually to help you pray for mission partners as well.
Yeah,
tell us, because I think there are probably two areas where we battle a little bit. Just tell us very quickly about those.
Yeah, so you can create a group. Either you can register as a church, and then that you pay a small fee as a church, but then the groups within your church can pray for free. So you basically set up it's like a shared list.
Yeah.
And everyone records their prayer requests, and it syncs.
So if I recorded my little prayer request on there, and you're in the same group as me, that's on your prayer list already.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, okay.
And then I'm
filling in your notebook for you.
Exactly. I mean, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? And then we have something called PrayerMate Send, which is basically if you're a missionary or a church leader and you're already sending a kind of monthly prayer email, or probably more realistically a 6-monthly prayer email, you can basically get this extra little email address you add to your distribution list, and then it automatically updates a prayer feed that goes to all your supporters in PrayerMate.
Okay, some people will be listening to this and be completely lost. That's fine. But if you're a techie church, that might well work for you. And especially if you're a larger church, thinking how can we communicate with everybody, that might be a really good way of making things work. So there are notebooks available. There are lots of different ways to pray. I'm really grateful for PrayerMate as being one of those things that's helped me. Maybe it won't help other people as much. I don't know. Maybe it will. But we need to find these things, don't we? And just rejoice that there are actually things that will help us as means to this end of spending time with the Lord, listening to his voice in his word, and responding to him in prayer and praise, depending upon him. I mean, prayer is, it's like, even as I'm describing it, I'm coming out in goosebumps. It's a great privilege, isn't it? That we can come to the living creator God and spend time with him. Isn't that extraordinary? Andy, thanks so much. Thanks for joining us. This has been Independence. If you've enjoyed listening, please do rate us and review us. And we look forward to catching up with you soon.